Hallelujah. I need a trampoline behind here. Hallelujah. Whew. Man, ain't nothing greater than worshiping the Lord, man. I'm telling you what. Glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, I got new specs so I don't look like Poindexter. Praise God. How's everybody? Come on, lift your hands to heaven, get another drink. Yeah! Fill us and kill us. The joy of the Lord is my strength, and in his presence is fullness of joy. And at his right hand is pleasures forevermore. Pleasures forevermore in his presence. So we got a battle, you know, we got a battle to get in his presence. Amen? No one said it was going to be easy. There's a simple, simple solution. Jesus gave us the formula. He said, deny yourself. You know, people still have a hard time denying themselves. They're too busy thinking about themselves. And if they're too busy thinking about themselves, they can't deny themselves. They're too busy thinking about what they need to do instead of he's done it all. See, in these areas are evidence of drifting away. And one of the things the enemy wants to do is get you to drift away. See, he wants to replace your desire and thirst and hunger for the presence of God for everything else. And it's just a matter of time where you go back to the dirt again. And we don't want to go back, do we? You know, people don't realize that the Bible says, come out from among them and be separate. Don't touch what's unclean. Let me tell you, you just touch that unclean thing, and that spirit's on you again. And next thing you know, you're back where you started from. You know, Jesus gave us everything to overcome. Everything. He gave it to us. But some people just ain't willing to do it. You know, you can learn it in the classroom. We can come here and learn it, but you got to put it into practice. And if you're not willing to put it into practice, you're going to eat dirt again. You'll be deceived. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah. It's not where I wanted to start, but I'm being led to start there right now. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Let's refresh ourselves. Is everybody there? In verse 15, let's speak it together. Do not love the world. Hello? Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. In other words, people exchange the love of the Father for the love of the world. You and I should always maintain the exchange of the love of the Father in exchange for the love of the world. Has everybody got it? We want the love of the Father always. We were willing to exchange the love of the world for the love of the Father. And we must maintain that. And there are boundaries and in our life that the Holy Spirit sets up that you are sensitive to those things. And if you are not sensitive to those things, there's something wrong with you. Has everybody got this? If you're not sensitive, what do you mean by something's wrong with you? There's hindrance. There's blindness. There's deception. There's dullness. You're not entering in. You're not entering in. Because see, when you don't enter in, then you're still out. In verse 16, for all that is in the world, the what? Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. He just gave us the three major idols of the world. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. These three are the major idols. What does he say? He says, if you think you're somebody, you're not. Does everybody understand that? What man admonishes, God rejects. See, everything must be about the Lord, not about self. Everything. You and I have done nothing. He's done it all. People come into total freedom to get set free. The program doesn't free people. It's the Lord that frees them. What happens in that is just we give God the opportunity to free us because of the things we're getting from the other side. So truth is from the other side, which brings freedom to us. What happens? You're exchanging darkness and deception for light and truth. That's how we have found as a place that's willing to allow us to do it. And do it according to doctrine, true doctrine, by the Spirit of God, not by religiosity of man. It's not a program. It's a discipleship house. Holy Ghost boot camp, officers training school. We in college, eternal college. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You won't learn this going to college, I'll tell you that. You know, you think about something that when the United States was founded, things were founded and backed by the gospel. Schools taught the Bible. All moral things and ethic things were associated with the Word of God. It was law. It was placed in our systems and our laws, and everything was backed by the Word of God. Even the colleges were backed by the Word of God. You know, there are colleges right now that are backed by the Word of God, and but they're training up individuals to become lawyers and attorneys, and of course, the same thing, but doctors and so forth. But they're training them up according to the ways of God so they can infiltrate the world and rescue individuals. Those are the colleges. The other ones are secular, and they keep people from God. They give wisdom that is according to the ways of man instead of according to the ways of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, it says what? But if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are what? Perishing. Who's what? The minds, the God of this age has blinded. The God of this age. You know, this is powerful. And we've talked so many things, and you're hearing this over and over and over. The God of this age, his name is Satan. But there are multiple gods, and people don't even really. He's not really a god. He calls himself a god. He's a self-proclaimed god. But he is the ruler of this earth, but the Lord owns the earth. And the only reason he's ruler of the earth is because of the fall of Adam. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe the gospel, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves to yourselves, yourselves, bondservants for Christ's sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Listen. The God of this age has kept mankind in captivity and from the truth of escaping. In other words, only truth can allow you to escape. And he uses mankind to build and maintain his own kingdom. And people don't know that. He uses mankind to build his kingdom and to maintain it. Listen, it doesn't mean that they're doing it willfully, although some are, but some are doing it ignorantly. And don't even know it. He is a self-proclaimed ruler, God, and master of deception. He is a false god. And he is a promoter of false gods. He will promote false gods until he chooses to exalt himself above all the gods, even his creator. One of the things that we've got to begin to realize that there are multiple false gods. False gods. And in these false gods, they do have power. They have wisdom. They can outwit a human being in a minute, in a second. Without the anointing and the Holy Spirit, you'll be outwitted. So if there's not relationship and fellowship in the Spirit, you'll be easily tricked. In Isaiah 14, false gods. Isaiah 14. Is everybody there in verse 12? How you have fallen from heaven. How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground. You who what? Weaken the nations. Weaken the nations. In other words, you who deceived the nations. For you have said in your heart. Now Lucifer was an archangel of the Lord. He was anointed. He was the first angel created. He saw everything being created with God. When God chose to create the universe and the earth, Lucifer was there. The word says, and the heavens were made first, then the earth. And everything of the heavens was upheld by the God's angels. There were three types, three archangels associated with the Trinity. Lucifer was the praise and worship leader of the universe, and there was a third of the angels in control under him. Archangel Michael was the warrior in the military. A third of the angels were controlled under him. And then there was Gabriel. He was the messenger. He was the one that brought revelation, brings wisdom, and so forth. And a third of the angels were under him. But there's something that Lucifer did that removed him from the presence of God. He exalted himself to be like God, so he would become a false god. In fact, if you think about it, he's the one that tricked Eve, trying to tell her that you would be like God, when she already was, but not God. He knew that if he could trick her, it would move her away, and he could blind her. It says, "For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High God." The five eyes, which spells pride, P-R-I-D-E. Again, personal reverence into a deadly end. I love the Lord's response here. He says, "Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, which is hell, to the lowest depths of the pit." So Lucifer and the five eyes, he said, "You will weaken the nations. You have deceived and destroyed nations. I'm going to take you, and I'm going to chain you into the lowest depths of pit." Now, I want to show you this because when Lucifer was removed from the heavens, he was actually removed from the level of heaven where God's throne was at. In Revelation chapter 20, in verse 1, Revelation 20, verse 1, it says, "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the what? Devil and Satan, or Lucifer, and bound him for 1,000 years. So what was prophesied in Isaiah is going to be fulfilled. And he cast him where? Into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should not deceive the nations, hello, no more till 1,000 years were finished. So he will be chained for 1,000 years. There'll be peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost on the earth. No goofiness for 1,000 years. But we're not there yet. "But after these things, he must be released for a little while." So after 1,000 years, the Lord's going to release him to kill him. He's going to release him so that he can gather all of his crew back together again. He's going to let him have the last, thinking he's got the last victory. And then he's going to cast him in the lake of fire forever. Now, this was prophesied by Isaiah. And this will come to pass. Now, go to Revelation 12. I want to bring a clear picture of what's happening. It's important that we know this. This must be a clear picture, what's behind everything. In Revelation 12 and verse 1, it says, "Now a great sign appeared in heaven." Come on, read it with me. "A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet." Now, she was clothed with the sun because that's light. The moon was known as the second light, which was under her feet. "And on her head a garland of 12 stars," which is multiple meanings. Stars represent angels. But they also represent the 12 tribes of Israel. They represent the 12 constellations. And they will also represent the 12 apostles that will come forth. "And then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth." So we know this is talking about Mary, who was also pregnant. And if you notice that in the constellations, in the 12 constellations, the first one, I think, is Virgo, representation of Virgin Mary. In the heavens, it's all declared that the birth of Jesus and his sufferings and everything, all the way to Leo the Lion, where he returns as the King of Glory, as a lion. It's all in the constellations in the heavens. Of course, the powers of darkness want to defile everything by astrology and all of this other stuff. "And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth." Now, in other words, the 3 archangels were in charge of a third of each of the angels, right? So Lucifer, now known as the dragon, the serpent, Satan, when he was removed from the level of heaven where the throne was at, he was cast to the earth's atmosphere. He was actually also chained. He was actually imprisoned on the earth at that time. And when Adam was here, Adam was able to see him. He was in the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But what had happened then is the serpent deceived Eve. Eve deceived Adam and released the serpent from prison so that all mankind who would be brought forth into this realm would come right automatically in prison. They would be blinded. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God in his throne. In other words, where is Jesus now? He's at the throne, isn't he? So this has been fulfilled in one aspect. There's another aspect according to this, and it's associated with the body of Christ. Remember, the word of God is three-dimensional, past, present, and future. Verse 6, then a woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days, which is 3.5 years. So again, it's also associated with the rapture because the body of Christ should be raptured in mid-tribulation and be with the Lord for 3.5 years before we return. Is everybody okay? Now, war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. Listen, there is going to be a time when the dragon and his angels will no longer be in the unseen realm. They will be cast, forced into the physical realm, and that will be during the Great Tribulation. They will become military leaders and all kinds of stuff. So the great dragon, look at verse 9, was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He does what? Deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. In other words, at some time, they will come into the physical realm and be seen. What they will put on, some of them will look very strange. Lucifer was removed from the level of heaven where the throne of the Lord is, sent into the realm of the earth, the first and second heaven, the unseen realm. A third of the angels were cast out with him. Now we know that some of the angels put on flesh and went into women and produced offsprings, which were Nephilims and then hybrids. But the rest of the angels were known as principalities and powers of darkness and so forth. Those are known as fallen angels. These fallen angels are also self-proclaiming gods. And they are servants of Satan, and they have wisdom and power and a mission. They have wisdom, power, and a mission. And their mission is to keep mankind in service and worship to false gods. That's their mission. Why? So that they can deny the true God and Creator. Now, I want you to understand something. They know who the true God is. They were there in his presence in his throne room. They served the living God, the one who created them. But they have rebelled. They've decided to go under the authority of Satan's kingdom, and they're here ruling on this earth and the atmosphere in Romans chapter 1. So these fallen angels are also associated as false gods. In verse 18, you know, people, again, they worship false gods and not even know it. They don't even realize that they're worshiping them. The devil does not come to you and say, you will worship me today. Because you'll say, oh, no, I won't. But you know, you ought to think that he's already come to you and say, you will worship me today. So why would you want to think that? So that you can be alert of anything that he may cause you to worship. You know, people using drugs and alcohol worship Satan. People still smoking pot don't even know it's an accursed item. It draws demonic activity. Those people have demons. And many of them call themselves Christians. But they're being destroyed for lack of knowledge. Listen, the devil blesses his servants. Does everybody understand it? Never determine somebody's walk with God by the amount of money they have or materialism. Never. You discern them by the fruits, not by what they have, not by what they're doing, not even the gifts. You discern them by the fruits. If they're expressing the fruits of Christ, or they're expressing the fruits of the flesh. You know, I remember being out there as an addict, and I mean, anybody that's ever done crack, man, they get on the floor on their hands and knees, and they smoke tile, they smoke soap, and deodorant, and everything else. They're crawling around looking for the dope. They are actually worshiping Satan on their knees. Think about when you're hungover and you're kissing that porcelain sink. What are you worshiping? He brings you to your knees, and we don't even realize it. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, let's speak it together. It says, what? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifested in them. In other words, they know. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were what? Darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image or an idol, made like corruptible man, and the birds, and the four-footed animals, and creeping things, idols. People get stressed out. You know what they do? In the world, they go drink, they go roll a pot, they go snort, they go whatever, they grab a cigarette, they do all of these things to try to relieve their stress instead of getting into the presence of God, because all of that brings just another emptiness afterwards. It may have a form of godliness, but it really isn't. It may have a form of peace, but it really isn't. They just go right back, they're empty again, and they go through that same cycle, and they become angry and frustrated and anxious. I got to do something. No peace. No peace. That's one of the fruits you'll know. Let me tell you, when you're in the Spirit, you are not anxious or pushed. There's constant peace. There's constant rest. In fact, you're in a place where you just don't give a hoot. Hallelujah. In verse 23, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image, idols, made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. 24. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Lucifer and his angels and demons know who the true God is. And they have no excuse, do they? But they are promoting false gods. They're promoting themselves as false gods. Why? Because they get people to worship idols. Behind every idol is an evil spirit. It causes a person, we talked about ruling influences in our life. Those ruling influences will cause a person to worship an idol. And behind an idol is a demon and a fallen angel. They are called false gods. Go to the next verse. Watch this. For this reason, God gave them. That word them here are the followers. These are the followers of these false gods. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against them. Why? Because they had idols, and they began to follow them, and they began to worship them. And behind those idols, there was a ruling influence in their life that was released because demons, fallen angels, and powers of darkness are behind every idol because they are false gods. They want mankind to worship them. For this reason, God gave them, those are the followers, that's mankind, that were following these false gods, up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due, called death. And even as they did not like to retain the true God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Why? Because they knew. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy and murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, they know that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Now that's pretty wild. So we see there that these false gods, known as angels, fallen angels, demons, hybrids, have idols. They produce idols which bring influence so that they are worshipped. People practice witchcraft and don't even know they are. And in that, the Lord said, because you are following these false gods, I'm going to turn you over to them. You know, he divorced Israel for false gods, worshiping false gods. You know, God gives us plenty of opportunities. Thank God Jesus came. Hallelujah. Mercies and grace and the power of the Spirit and the truth and the sword to be able to battle and fight these things, to be able to know the truth and overcome. The followers, they are used, now listen, these followers are used to feed the false gods' egos. They are fed on emotion. And with the defiling of the human bodies of the true, what true God created. See, their battle is against God, and they use humans to get to God. Just like the Lord used Job to get to Satan. He wants to use all his children to get to Satan like he used Job in different ways. That doesn't mean you have to, you know, have boils and lose your whole family and whatever. But he still wants to use us to get to Satan. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, false gods. In verse 19, what am I saying then, that an idol is anything? Or what is offered to idols is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to who? Demons. They sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his what? His own. You know, man's greatest idol is himself. But each one the other's well-being. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. If any of those who do not believe or are followers invite you to dinner, and you desire to go and eat whatever is set before you, asking no question for conscience sake. But if anyone says to you, this was offered to idols, don't eat it. For the sake of the one who told you, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's in all of its fullness. Idols have demons. They are cursed items. Besides every idol, is the demonic forces. You know, and it says, if something is offered to an idol, well, you probably heard this story already, but I went into a tailor shop, and this woman there was making coffee in the back. I thought, oh, cool. I mean, she must have saw me coming in. There's two cups of coffee in her hand. She's going to probably bring me a cup of coffee. And I'm waiting at the counter. And so she comes up to me and then walks right by me and walks around and goes over to the corner there. And I'm looking at this corner. And there's this fat Buddha. He's got candles and stuff. And she puts down the two coffees next to him and picks up the other ones and walks away. And I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm offering food to Buddha. And I looked again. I said, well, he hasn't drank the first two cups you left him. And she's like, and walks away. I said, no, really. It's a statue. It's an idol. This is nothing. He's a fat, jolly demon. He don't drink coffee. Or he would have drank the first two you brought him. I thought, oh, my God, what am I saying? Should I leave my clothes here to get tailored? But I tried to explain to her what was what, and she was, I think she was Vietnamese or something, you know, but she was a Buddha worshiper. And that's what you call about, that's the area of offering food. People offer flowers, they offer vegetables, they offer certain things. So if you go to someone's house and say, yeah, we've offered this as an idol, don't eat it. Especially if you see Buddhas hanging around and bats upside down. Or it's amazing how many people claiming to be Christians and they've got, gargoyles or whatever? Gargoyles. And at their front door. I'm like, what? Or they got those dream catchers in their cars thinking that it's keeping evil spirits away. No, it's drawing them. Those are accursed items. People do not know that. I see people with bells on their motorcycles and they're dinging, dinging, dinging. It ain't dinging nothing away. It's an accursed item. Unless they're waiting for room service. Ding, ding. You know, I don't know. Acts 17. Maybe they pull up in a gas station and ring their bell. I don't know. I saw those on police motorcycles. They've got these little bells there thinking it's keeping evil spirits away. They might as well just spray themselves with garlic. I'm not going to tell you why I saw those motorcycles. Hallelujah, we'll just go to Acts 17 right now. In verse 16. Glory to God. Now, would you read this with me? Now, while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to what? Idols. Idols. He was provoked. He was frustrated. He said, man, I can't believe this. There's something I got to do about this. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. Then certain Epicurean and Sotic philosophers encountered him, and some said, what does this babbler want to say? Others said, he seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods. Therefore, he preached to them Jesus in the resurrection. And they took him and brought him into the Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine is of what you speak? For you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean. For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Sounds like a bunch of Google workers. Hallelujah. Or Facebookers. They got nothing else to do but they spray it. Man, they get on Facebook. This is how I feel. Oh. They give their whole life because they got nobody else to talk to. Hallelujah. They need to have some brothers and sisters in Christ. Hallelujah. Verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious, false gods. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription. Remember, behind these objects are idols. These are idols, and behind these idols are spirits. The inscription that says to the unknown God, therefore the one whom you worship without knowing him, him I proclaimed you. In other words, there was nothing there. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord and hope that they might grope for him and find him. Though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like what? Gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to what? Repent. Do you realize how much foundations give out money and grant money to artwork when there are people starving to death? Verse 31. Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has also given assurance to this to all by raising him from the dead. There's no one else that rose from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, "We will hear you again on this matter." In other words, worshiping of false gods, or which they had idols, that are backed by satanic spirits, fallen angels. Jesus said something very powerful, and you don't have to go there. In John 14 and verse 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for through me." In other words, you can only get to the Father through Jesus. Not an idol, not a saint, not a book, revelation, or experience without the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, to the Father, or you are lost, living outside salvation's truth. Buddhism has Buddha, amongst other gods they have. Islam has Allah. Hinduism has, goodness gracious, 300 million gods. They're starving to death because they think the cow is Aunt Lucy. Or Grandma Grace, or whatever, I don't know. People are dying. Don't kill the pig! That could be your lost cousin who's coming back again. It's pretty incredible, isn't it? They are starving to death. I don't know if you've ever seen any documentaries on TV where the bulls are running through and everything and people are hungry, children are starving and crying, and these animals are eating the food because they won't kill them. It's pretty sick. In Galatians chapter 5, I always look at Buddha as the food demon. Allah is the hate demon. And Hinduism is confusion. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, and we know this. Now the works of the flesh are, the works of the flesh. We know that the works of the flesh, we talked about the fruits of influence produce works of the flesh. But the works of the flesh are idols. Behind every work of the flesh is a spirit, a fallen angel, or a demon. Evil. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are what? Adultery. I can tell you God ain't behind that. Fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, that's drugs, alcohol, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, the works of the flesh are fruits of influence, evil influence. This evil influence is because these works of the flesh are now associated with worship of idols. Idols. And behind every idol is evil forces, demonic forces of evil, false gods. Ruling influences, the demonic forces are causing people to worship false gods. Look at what does it say if you look at your money? It's got a pyramid, it's got an all-seeing eye, the sun god, and in it it says, "In God we trust." I want you to know that they are not talking about our God. They are talking about the God of this world who blinds those who are perishing from the truth. You go in a courtroom, and I've been in a courtroom many times. It says on the back, "In God we trust." That is not our God. It is the God they trust. You know why? Because then they would have godly judges in there. And those judges ain't godly. Not all. Some of them are, but not all of them. It's a shame what our Supreme Court is like. Oh my gosh. They're willing to change the constitutions also. They're not willing to hold on to what is truth. Remember, we know them by the fruit. If they promote same-sex marriage, it's because they're worshiping an idol. And behind that idol, they don't even know it, is a demon, a false god, an angel, a fallen angel. Hallelujah. And Daniel chapter 7. You know, I was talking about in the courtroom, which is not our God, the eternal realm. It's not the God of our eternal realm, but it's the God of the earth who changes laws and times. Things are being changed in the courtrooms now. Not according to the ways of our God, that's for sure. And Daniel chapter 7, false gods. Is everybody okay? You know, Daniel, God showed Daniel so much, it's just phenomenal to me. And I want to share a couple of quick things in Daniel. In Daniel chapter 7, and we've read some of this already, but I want to confirm some of these things. In verse 21, Daniel 7, verse 21, false gods. How many of y'all, money can be a false god? Remember the Lord said, you cannot serve God and mammon. Amen. Materialism. I can tell you, whoever has the most does not get rewarded when he dies. In verse 21, let's read it together. I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them, until the Ancient of Days, who's Jesus, and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. We know that that is the final end. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom on the earth, which shall be different from the other kings, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it and break it in pieces. The ten horns are ten kings who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall rise after them. He shall be different from the first kings and shall subdue three kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High. He shall persecute the saints of the Most High and shall intend to change what? Times and law. And that's happening now. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and a half. 3.5 years. We know he's talking about tribulation time. Amen. Go to chapter 8 in verse 23. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors have reached their fullness, a king shall arise, having what? Fierce features, who understand sinister schemes. This is Daniel chapter 8, verse 23. Let's read it again. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors have reached their fullness, a king shall arise, having fierce features, who understands sinister schemes. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall destroy fearfully, and shall prosper and thrive. He shall destroy the mighty and also the holy people. Through his cunning, he shall cause deceit to prosper under his rule. Man, it sounds like it's happening now, don't it? He shall exalt himself in his heart. He shall destroy many in their prosperity. Many are being destroyed right now in prosperity. He shall even rise against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without human means. In other words, he shall be broken without things of human. It would be a spiritual thing that God will do. And the vision of the evenings and mornings which was told is true. Therefore, seal up the vision, for it refers to many days in the future. He was given this by the angel of Revelation. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick for days. Afterward, I arose and went about the king's business. I was astonished by the vision, but no one understood it. In chapter 11, verse 29. Chapter 11, verse 29. And at that appointed time, he shall return and go forward to the south, but it shall not be like the former or the latter. For his ships from Cyprus shall come against him. Therefore, he shall be grieved and return in rage against the holy covenant and do damage. So he shall return and show regard for those who forsake the holy covenant. He will regard those who forsake. And forces of evil shall be mustered by him. And they shall defile the sanctuary fortress. Then they shall take away the daily sacrifices and place their abomination of desolation. This means that the temple have to be rebuilt. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. And those of the people who understand shall instruct many. Yet for many days they shall fall by the sword and flame, by captivity and plundering. Now when they fall, they shall be aided with a little help, but many shall join with them in by intrigue. And some of those who understand shall fall to refine them, purify them, and make them white until the time of the end, because it is still for an appointed time. Then the king shall do according to his own will. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god. Now, eventually, Lucifer will turn around and kill all he can, even of his own. And shall speak blasphemous against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished. For what has been determined shall be done. He shall regard neither the God of his fathers nor the desire of a woman, nor regard any god, for he shall exalt himself above them all. But in their place he shall honor a god of fortresses, and a god which his fathers did not know. He shall honor with gold and silver, with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus he shall act against the strongest fortresses with a foreign god, which he shall acknowledge and advance its glory. And he shall cause them to rule over many and divide the land for gain. Daniel 12, verse 1. It's not going to be a pretty time, is it? These are all false gods that are proclaiming themselves as false gods that are now coming to the natural realm. At that time, Michael shall stand up. He's the archangel. He's the protector of Israel. The great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was seen there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. That knowledge shall increase means technology shall increase. And I want you to know one of the great gods of this earth right now is the God of technology. He has trapped people and brought them into captivity in technology through computers. The necessity that they rely on technology to survive. Technology and phones. Technology is so beyond. They're getting ready to send. In fact, they shot off a ship yesterday. It was going to Mars. Their hope by, I think it was 2024, that we will be on Mars. All of the technology, everything is about technology now. Everything is relied on technology, automatic systems. If you've ever watched the movie Matrix, what did they get ruled by? Technology is what destroyed them. But behind this technology are fallen angels. Technology is a god now in this world. Satan's kingdom has technology to manipulate, to deceive, to control. You know, in the Matrix, he opens doors, shuts doors, sets trends and everything else. He sets idols. Look at music as being an idol. People worship secularism without God, self-gods, proclaiming to be self-gods. These are all false gods, and they're everywhere. There are more false gods in this world than there ever has been before. Everywhere you turn, Farmageddon, pharmacies. Look at how medication rules people. That is a god in itself. Pharmakia, witchcraft, sorcery, black magic. They're finding out more and more that people don't realize that people taking high blood pressure is actually hurting them instead of helping them. All of these medications that are hurting, the side effects are tremendous. Now they're trying to compete with one another, so they're exposing one another. You know that one that puts you to sleep with the butterfly that flies around? I don't know what it's called. Who? Madagascar. Lunesta? Puts you in a nest. I don't know. But they're finding tremendous side effects with that now. Ritalin for kids. Uh-oh, my kids are anxious. Give them a Ritalin. Everything is promoted by a pill. TV, the god of TV, the god of music. All of these are idols and false gods that are bringing people and keeping them in the captivity, using them to build Satan's kingdom and maintain his kingdom here on the earth until they are used up. Same thing with laboring and paying all your taxes, whatever. And I'm not saying don't pay your taxes. But all that goes to support his kingdom, not the kingdom of God. Only your tithe goes to help support the kingdom of God and your offerings. Everything else goes to the kingdom of hell. Kind of a strange thing, isn't it? Well, then it goes to Rhodes. Well, who's behind all of it? Who's behind everything? Who's the ruler of this earth? Satan and his kingdom. And he's using mankind until he kills every human being and sets up his own race. There's only two races alive right now, the race of Christ and the race of Antichrist. We're either in or out, and I'll close at Matthew 16. In verse 24, and Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come to me and after me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And what profit is a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he will reward each one according to his works. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Amen. False gods. Examine yourself and see if you're associated with false gods. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask that the seed that has been imparted in us grow and bear fruit for your glory. That you would keep us alert to see. That you'd keep us ready to act. And that you keep us in a place of peace to follow, that we may know the truth and the truth set us free for your glory, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.